Hey there, my name is Ricky Smith, and I'm the founder of Random Acts of Kindness Everywhere, a nonprofit that simply does exactly what it says, promote kindness everywhere. We know the world is crazy right now. If you are searching for a podcast that has a deeper conversation about race, my co-host Angel Gray and I will be discussing everything going on right now on our podcast, Random Acts of Podcast, on Blue Wire Podcast Network. To find out more, go to rakenow.org. Enjoy the show.
Mother, don't you recognize your son?
Welcome everybody to Sopranos Podcast. As always, my name is Joe Spellman, and this is...
Hey, David Fiedernag.
And this is...
Paul Gullius.
And we're talking season two, episode fucking nine?
Nine.
Yep.
From Where to Eternity? Am I getting this all right?
Do you know anything about The Sopranos?
You're
doing
just wondering,
a Sopranos podcast.
I forgot if I did that whole intro on the last time we did it because this is only our second Zoom fucking episode.
Yeah,
we're
still
do these fucking Zoom episodes because it's a fucking
right,
pandemic.
Don't feel it out.
But anyway, from Where to Return? Say that again.
Be nice to the pandemic. Come on.
I'm really mad at it. Guys, if you haven't heard, here's our guest today, pandemic expert. Pandemic expert.
Our man,
sounds like
Sanjay
a
Gupta. Sanjay, thank you for thank you for joining us.
This is my I'm doing an Indian accent, a really offensive one. Can you tell?
Yes, you sound like a robot too. Devlin Corrigan.
Doctor
Devlin Corrigan of, we won't name the hospital, I guess. That's probably not, you know, not a good idea. But
HIPAA. Yeah.
It's the one where it's
Veterans Administrative Medical Center.
Former a UCB New York alum. We were on a improv team together. Right? Former or UCB New York alum.
You're not a former alum. Are you not only forgetting what we're covering today, but you're forgetting parts of your life, Joe?
I'm just like, not speaking properly.
We were
because I fucking hate.
We were
this
on a
Zoom
team,
shit.
Or yeah, it sucks.
Comedian and doctor. So, hey, Devlin, welcome, you motherfucker.
Hi, good to see you guys.
Good to see you too, man.
We're discussing this episode because it takes place in a hospital, and also, you know, Devlin is a huge Sopranos fan. He would host Sopranos nights, which I never went to.
You did.
No, I don't think we were like that good of friends yet.
Well, we're still not, but
true.
It's the pandemic.
We'll get into that. I'll also talk doctor stuff. So why don't you go ahead, Paul, and do your thing and run down the episode for us and all that jazz.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen it in 20 years, this is episode 9 of season 2 from Where to Eternity. Originally aired March 12th, year 2000. Do you guys remember what you were doing on March 12th in 2000?
Waiting 9/11.
Just twiddling my thumbs.
So true.
Written by Michael Imperioli.
Oh.
And it's the first of the series that was written by him. But so, yeah, this is a pretty infamous episode. We got Christopher's just
been shot
at the end of the last episode.
Did he not write Legend of Tennessee Moltisanti?
No, he did not.
Ah.
This is the first one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. But so Christopher was just shot at the end of the last episode. And this is the episode where he thinks he went into the afterlife, which, you know, causes Pauly to wrestle with some questions about his own fate after death. And we get the infamous Pauly psychic scene.
Fucking quiz.
Yep. Carmela wants Tony to get a vasectomy. and Big Puss and Tony get some revenge. But let's dive into it. Opening the episode, maybe my favorite music choice of the series.
Oh yeah,
My Lover's Prayer.
Otis Redding, baby. Yeah,
perfect opening.
A lot of great songs on the show, but I think it's one of the best used. And it pops up in multiple spots. You know, begins and ends, pops up in the middle.
Right, they do that a lot, or Chase does that a lot. Like he'll pick a song just to and just like pepper it throughout the episode. But, yeah, you know.
But you, when you think of this episode, you at least for me, I think of the ba na na na.
Yeah. Yep. Do you want to sing the whole song, Dave?
No.
We have time.
Not in this day and age. Not in this day and age. I think that would be a mistake.
David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos.
You what?
He mentioned the word Chase, and I'm just explicating it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, doctor.
So yeah, it opens up at the hospital. Chris is in critical condition. Adriana's by his side, and then his mother comes in.
Serious condition.
He's in serious condition.
What's the difference between critical and serious?
I don't know.
It goes. Critical, then serious, right? Then stable.
Well, there's grave. Then there's grave. Critical.
Gotcha.
Right.
Serious. Gotcha. And then there's you're fine.
and then there's discharge.
Not there yet. But then we get the first appearance of Chris's mother, Joanne Moltisanti. But
yeah, different
it's a different actress from the rest of the. That's the series.
Yeah,
you guys think? I mean, I thought she did fine.
Yeah, no, she did fine? There's not a whole lot to sink your teeth into, but yeah, it's not like she's bad.
Well, she's like, I want them to suffer.
Yeah,
I think she did fine. I mean, my only guess is the reason they cast her is she looks too young.
That's true. Yeah, she does look like maybe a couple years older than Christopher.
I mean, the woman who ends up being his mother for the rest of the series is great. And she's much more of a character.
Cher.
Yeah.
It was Cher, right?
Yeah, it was Cher. Right. It was Cher. Yeah.
Beautiful.
If Cher and a bird had a baby.
They talk about, or doesn't Adriana go, oh, you could smell the alcohol in her breath? And,
but
she doesn't even seem that drunk. She just seems upset.
Yeah.
And then the woman who plays her mom later, she seems like a mean drunk. Or just a, I don't know.
Yeah. She looks more like a struggling alcoholic.
Yeah.
A recovering alcoholic.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't either.
We're all drinking.
We all need to take a long, sober look in the mirror, fellas. But So outside in the waiting room, we have, you know, the whole gang is out there. And then we see some authority figures like speaking to Tony and Paulie and Puss. Were those FBI agents or were those the police?
Like, detectives. Detectives.
Just detectives.
They might be like local detectives.
They seem like local detectives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Tony, the gang, nobody's saying anything. And then Richie shows up and Puss is like, this guy's full of negative energies.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But then, so I guess Bevilacqua's still on the run. He and Sean Gismonti just shot Christopher. And I guess Rich like has some information on where he is. He's like, some dealer named Quickie G saw Bevilacqua. And then Syl's like, oh, I think he comes into the Bing. Or is that Fast Fatty?
Yeah. What?
Imperially spent no time coming up with criminal nicknames.
Yeah, no.
He was like Quickie G, Fast Fatty, moving on, next
like,
page.
Watching a lot of, he was watching Dick Tracy that night and he was like, oh yeah, these sound like real people.
Right.
It didn't even seem like Rich had any real information. He's just
because it doesn't lead to anything.
More just coming to show his face, so it didn't seem like he was hiding. You know.
Right.
And then still, like in this opening sequence here, we got Gabriella Dante, who's just awful. The actress who plays her tells Carmela about Ralph and Mary Rotaldo, and Ralphie's Guma gave birth to Ralph's baby. Which brings us to the next scene with the vasectomy.
But not Ralph Cifaretto.
No, it's a different Ralph who we never see, I don't think.
No.
Some random fuck.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, she's like very concerned that Tony's going to have an illegitimate child, which valid, makes sense.
Valid they concern.
Want them to get a vasectomy.
He like always infection though.
He always. Yeah. We do always see that he's wearing protection.
Yeah, when... they make.
I feel like
a big close up on the protected Tony dick.
Heard a lot about vasectomies back then, like the Seinfeld episode with like Kramer getting a vasectomy. This,
oh,
and
yeah.
You don't really hear about vasectomies as much.
Have Devlin, you ever done? You ever performed a vasectomy?
Oh, that was such a pregnant beginning of a sentence. I didn't know what you were going to say. Have you?
It could have gone a lot of directions, but I think I tossed you a softball here.
I don't think I have. Maybe I was in one during med school or something, but that was quite a long time ago. But no, it's not my forte.
And you dropped a junior mint in the guy's body.
Yeah, yeah, that's where they...
I remember that. I heard about that.
I mailed them.
I know someone who had a vasectomy and it didn't work.
Ooh.
Did they find that out the hard way?
Yeah, they had two more kids. called my sisters.
Oh, I forgot. Shit. I forgot. I think you told me this. I forgot
They're
about
all,
that.
All of your siblings are accidents?
No, I think just one or two.
I was an accident. I was an accident.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick story. When I was 13, my mother took me aside and she said, I want to tell you something. It's really important. We almost aborted you. Why did I need to know that?
You could have and probably should have taken that to the grave. There's no reason. But it was, in her mind, it was important.
Hey, it's like in this episode, Tony says, you know, the shit in front of AJ about him like being his male heir.
Yeah.
Bad parenting. But did you get a pizza? Did you get pizza in bed afterwards or do they just say like, no, yeah, we still kind of still think about having to have aborted you. Actually kind of wish we had aborted you still.
It was sort of implied.
Right.
Something weird about this scene.
Almost aborted you. Wink.
Like we can still do it if you're not careful.
Legally.
But have we seen Carmela and Tony sort of casually talking about Tony's like infidelity like this? Because they're sort of like they're having the conversation like she knows he's cheating, but that's not the point. It's like she's sort of resigned to it. She's like, I don't want you to have an illegitimate kid. Have we ever?
Right. No.
It seems sort of weird.
I think it's. It's more just like a way of like getting Tony to say that shit in front of AJ. It seems like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I had her tested for AIDS.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think I am?
Great one.
Looks like he drops.
I don't know. What are you, Tone?
Does he drop an entire tray of ZD?
In that scene.
It's
yeah.
So
it's
much,
so funny.
Oh, AJ. Yeah. Yeah.
Just having a little ZD for dessert, you know?
Right.
It was AJ's chubby face for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's character building.
Yeah.
Had to justify the chubby face.
Right.
So then we're back at the hospital in the waiting room. Everybody's just like stomach in knots. Did you guys notice Pussy's holding a shaving cream and a razor?
Yeah, asleep.
So he's been there.
Why?
He's been there all like night or something?
Yeah.
That's the implication.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, so again, art department. Like the prop people are just like here. They clearly just like
here. You would fall asleep holding this just like this.
Yeah,
there's right up to your face.
Yeah, I don't know that he like probably went to a vending machine where they were and then like was gonna do it, but then fell asleep. Art department
and
does a good job later, which I'll remember to say.
I read up. It was actually given to him by one of the nurses.
Where'd you read that on?
Wiccan.
Yeah. Just looking at some witchcraft.
Yep.
Big Sopranos fan community.
Yeah, a lot of warlock fans out there.
No doubt.
Hey, there's a big supernatural element in this episode.
There is.
True.
But so this is where Chris flatlines.
Right.
Is that the term, Devlin?
It is. It's a bit colloquial term.
Sure. But then, so Adriana like just runs because she hears like code blue, ICU, and she just runs, and she runs up to the window and she just watches them giving him like chest compressions. That seems like not realistic to me. Can you comment?
I did review the episode, just so you all know, but didn't get to that scene. So, and obviously I watched it 20 years ago or whenever.
Do the loved ones, are they able to like run into the ICU and watch doctors perform chest compressions live when somebody is like flatlining?
Not usually, unless it's like a weird setup where there's like a window that doesn't have the, blind drawn or whatever.
Right. But, what if it's on a soundstage and they're shooting a TV show?
Yeah. What if it's at Silver Cup?
Yeah. Specifically Silver Cup Studios.
Silver Cup. Liz Lemon.
I'm guessing that's where this was shot. I'm guessing that's where these scenes were shot.
I would assume. You would imagine.
Okay. Well, yeah, probably for dramatic effect then.
Yeah.
But so then we get the scene of with Carmela giving her prayer, beautiful, merciful Jesus. We get a couple scenes of Carmela doing the sort of bedside.
This is
soliloquy.
We have this stuff with Father and Tintola before this, but this does like really kickstart the two people that like sort of struggle with religion and their lifestyle the most throughout the series with Carmela and Pauly. Like I feel like the two of them are the two that like really like struggle with God and shit the most.
What else about Pauly? I'm like trying to remember if there's been other Pauly related.
He later in the series
when he sees the Virgin Mary and like
he sees the Virgin Mary in the Bing. He just sees like a flash of it.
Right.
In Bing?
Yeah, in the Bing, the strip club.
And we often see him, like, consulting with, like, priests and, like, with the dues and all. It's often a money issue,
Yeah, and his mother betrayed him and she was a nun.
Well, that's religion, isn't
it? No doubt, that's religion, baby.
Yeah.
Feast of San Gennaro, like, that episode, like, all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Okay. All right, you're right.
Oh, just you watched this 20 years ago.
Yeah. Off the top of the dome.
But so Chris goes into cardiac arrest, and he's clinically dead for a minute, but they're able to resuscitate him. Is that like on the far end of the spectrum, Devlin? Like, what's being clinically dead for a minute like?
Well, clinically dead is also colloquial term.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that actually is quite acceptable because honestly, the longer you're clinically dead, the harder it is to get you back. So I think if it's fairly brief, that's actually quite realistic.
So you would consider a minute fairly brief?
Yeah. I mean, I've pumped on people's chests for half an hour, So
oh, wow. Wow.
They don't usually do well at that point.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. But hey, Chris wakes up and he's good. He's saved. But he did possibly go to hell. So, he wakes up and he's like, I crossed over.
Which is an Irish bar.
The Emerald Piper. And he says, tell Tony and Pauly 3:00. And this is the thing. So there's like some in the fandom who think that this has some meaning and they're constantly searching for it like later in the series and this and that. There's hints. Yeah. And then others think it's just random and meaningless. What do you guys think?
Well, a lot of the warlocks think it's pretty important.
Right. There is that segment of the community.
It's true. A lot of the nurses on Wicca.
You forget a lot about The Sopranos, but you're also just like very high on this Wiccan message board. You're just like,
I don't think I'm high. I'm just very.
No, you're like very the head of it. You're like very involved.
I mean, a lot of people think I'm the head of it.
Don't be modest, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm the head of it.
I like how like he justifies that. I mean, am I jumping ahead? Maybe, but like they justify that, you know, to themselves that they just went to purgatory, so it's okay.
Well, Paulie's the one that's like, nah, you were just in purgatory.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah, Paulie really does. But then I think Chris is like, yeah, I guess he's right.
I think Paulie is just trying to comfort him. I think he knows that he went to hell. He's going.
Yeah, he certainly feels that way, like throughout the episode.
I mean, more than comfort Chris, I think he's trying to comfort himself.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
he comes up, he pulls this like spiritual accounting system completely out of his ass with like, you add up your venial sins and your mortal sins, times it by 25, and you're doing 6,000 years.
by the way, that psychic in Nyack, Maron, he was good. He's fucking good.
Yeah, he knew everything.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I mean, yeah, you guys want to talk about that scene now? Because that's like,
sure.
That's like the most memorable scene of the episode, maybe, like, of Paulie's whole, like, character, like, arc in the series,
well,
right?
Yeah. What I don't, Paulie looks, in Paulie levels even, really stupid in that scene because he doesn't understand that the guy's talking to spirits. Like, he at least in this, like, why you keep saying that to me? Ooh! You know?
Yeah.
Godfather, I mean, background.
I think he's dumb to like the whole scene of that, I guess. I don't know. Like, cause the guy starts, he starts kind of cracking on it to some lady, and then he, like, his body language changes. And once he hears the other guy talk about meeting his father or talk, like he's talking about contacting his father or something. So I thought that was kind of funny that he just sort of becomes more engaged in it, like he thinks it's real, or slowly thinking that it's real.
Well, because the guy fucking knows the name of the first person he ever killed.
Yeah, right? That's crazy.
That's for real. That's for real.
So then that's what's interesting to me about this scene, because it's sort of like in the universe of The Sopranos, it's saying supernatural exists, right? Like, suddenly, this show about mob guys is about fucking ghosts.
Well, and like, late, you know, we're jumping around now, but like, you know, later on, you know, Tony and Puss are having dinner, having the biggest steaks in the universe.
What I was going to say, the art department again with the steaks.
I mean, beautiful steaks.
You guys always steaks. With the size of the plates of food. I mean, you're always like, that's a lot of food.
Hey, is what I think about a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's like all that matters to me.
Wait, what's up, Devin?
Are you sure it's not catering that would handle the steaks, not art department? I mean,
art department props. Would hit up catering, perhaps, and say, hey, do you have two of the most gigantic steaks I've ever seen? And we're going to slice some of it off so you can really see how red and fucking gigantic this steak was. No, but what I was going to say was that they're having that scene together after the Bevilacqua hit, and Tony asks Puss, do you believe in God? I mean, and it seems like whether it's David Chase in the writer's room or if it's actually Imperioli himself, like, that the voice, the major voice in this episode seems to believe that spirits are real, God is real.
I think so, and I think that actually carries out throughout the series, because there's other fucking weird supernatural shit that happens, you know. I mean, Tony, after Uncle June shoots him, whole like coma dream thing, like that,
right?
Chase himself has said that's not a dream, it's not like the dreams we've done in the series thus far, this is something different. But that sort of brings us to the point, like, Tony and the gang are forced to sort of think about, like, what the fuck's going to happen to my soul after I die. And in Tony and Melfi's, like, therapy session, which is, like, one of my favorite, I think, of the series.
Oh, so good. Know,
where she kind of puts him in the hot seat and actually, like, hold them accountable for shit.
I mean, that's when they're always at their best in those sessions, is when she pushes him.
Yeah, why do you think like she pushed him here?
Well, I think any time that he uses the Italian thing as a shield, and the fact that she knows that Christopher is his nephew that he's talked about, he's been shot, he's in the hospital because of a gangland shooting, and it's her, you know, it's a reminder to her that like who Tony is.
Yeah, and I think also maybe she's like realizing this is a moment, she might not get this moment again where she's really like putting Tony up against the wall, making him think about this shit.
She probably saw the news. She says to her own therapist that she's been drinking. She's like shaking. And she probably was like drunk the night before. She knew she was seeing him the next day. And she was like, I'm going. She prepared herself to say that to him.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's the other thing revealed this episode. That Melfi's been like taking pills and like drinking by herself and shit.
Right.
That's normal.
Yeah.
As a doctor, you would say that's normal, right? Everyone does that. It's normal. It's healthy.
Not a red flag at all.
All of me does.
But like less so during the pandemic, right? That we're locked away in our houses.
Really more social now.
Right.
To bring it into the world that is going on right now.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that he talks about how, I don't know, there are like bigger rich people who were like controlling the world back when maybe a lot of Italians immigrated and they wanted their own piece of the pie. So they kind of started they started the mafia.
Their own thing. This thing of ours.
Right.
Just think it's interesting because they were probably allowed to do that too because they were white, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, when Italians first started immigrating in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they weren't considered white.
True.
Sure, but
they were considered olives.
Yes. Actual olives.
But they were still white.
Right. Yes. Of course.
Yes. And it's all bullshit. I mean, the stuff that Tony starts, I mean, Melfi says it herself, like what
poor Italian
immigrants have to do with you and what you do every day, you know?
I don't know if it's actually bullshit for him. And if I think there's truth to it in that, like, you know, he says like the J.D. Rockefellers of the world, like, they wanted to not be these like worker bees who build the wealth for other people, sort of like a lot of language that we're hearing right now. And then like, but they chose to start legalized crime is the other thing. Oh, it's not like all Italians, but it's just like that's where he's coming from.
That was 80 years ago when Tony was in this therapy session. So what does that have to do with him making the choice to go do it, you know, in the year 2000, right, on March 12th, 2000, right, when 9/11's around the corner?
Well, it's just that people do things out of like, you know, if they're feeling like, I guess he's saying that Italians are feeling oppressed, so like this is what they did. Like now people are protesting. You know,
they also
just
they
a different
all,
way
they
of
also,
reacting towards it.
Like Puss and Paulie refusing to answer any questions to the detectives, they also like have a code of like self-policing themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Which hot topic right now. Communities kind of looking after themselves as opposed to people that don't even live in the city being the ones that police our city.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
it's obviously not the same thing, but you know, similar idea. It's like we take care of our own business and we don't need two guys in suits trying to help us out.
Aside on Puss and Tony when they're about to kill what's his name, Bevilacqua, and they get the gun, and it's really interesting because I feel like Puss was hesitant to give him a gun a little bit, like he thought he was going to get killed. Mm. And then he definitely takes a huge pause before he opens fire on Bevilacqua after 20.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, like, is that, like, foreboding? Like, he fucked?
I think, well, yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that scene. It's a, yeah. I think he...
Well, and he has the scene with Skip before that.
Right. Right. Well, so this episode, Puss has expressed that he thinks that Tony is onto him being
right.
a rat.
Right.
But also he's entered into the agreement with the FBI, presumably that, you know, as long as he's a rat and they're keeping him out on the street, he can't be associated with any violent crime.
Right.
So that's probably his hesitation there.
Sure.
But that's the question. Like
Tony, like he sees it, like he notices both in both scenes.
I think. Yeah. For sure. And in a way, like you could, like maybe Tony brought Puss along to test him in that regard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, let's see, you know, if you flinch here. Right. And he did kind of. He made sure that, Tony sort of, he shot him in the head, right? Tony, like that first shot.
Yeah, he
like,
was dead the first shot.
Yeah, he's immediately dead. Yeah.
Right. So technically, Puss didn't kill him. He's just sort of. I don't know. Is that still a crime? Firing bullets into a dead body? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. As a doctor, would you say it's still a crime? Or
if I do it, it's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, that's why you become a doctor in the first place. Come on,
medical immunity, bitch.
It's like becoming a brewmaster. You're like, oh hell yeah, I'm drinking all this beer.
Yeah. What? What?
Wait, what?
What?
Huh? What? Huh?
In the bullet holes, you can fuck him? What are you talking about?
That's what I heard.
That's what she said.
But yeah, we sort of jumped ahead. But I want to bring up Paulie and his girlfriend.
Yeah, this is the only time that we see him like in an act, like an actual relationship, and not like with a prostitute, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Anybody else surprised that she's like Latina, Dominican,
African,
African? Judy Reyes,
yeah, Carla from Scrubs, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know her name. What was her name again?
Judy Reyes.
What did you say?
I don't know what you just said, Devlin, and it's probably for the best.
Noah Wiley.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah. Noah Wiley with a wig on.
Oh shit! Oh, there's another doctor related thing. It's she was on Scrubs.
Yes, indeed.
Oh shit!
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
My God, holy shit!
Devlin, fan of Scrubs or no?
It's actually a good show. Yeah, it's not technically accurate 99% of the time, but
sure. It
was created by a cardiologist and who was one of the producers and or co-executive producers. So I think it was a good show. I think I enjoyed it. I thought it was well written overall.
Goalies, you were a big Scrubs podcast guy.
Oh yeah, I was. I mean, the final season sucked, but the last few seasons sucked, but yeah.
I never.
But yeah, anyway, we'll save that for the Scrubs podcast.
The pod.
He, you know, first time we see him with his girlfriend and first time we see him like be nice to children. He like wakes up the children and then he puts them to bed. Like I was like, that's like kind of goes against where we see him later in the season where he's like, he's got no kids. Like, you know, you know, empathy for children or whatever. But
well, we never really see him be mean to kids.
Yeah.
I guess not. But he doesn't like, you know, he's not empathetic, sympathetic, whatever to Ralphie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
When that shit goes down like later on in the series on like Feast of San Gennaro and like the kids get hurt on the ride.
Yeah.
He's like does not give a fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Does not care. Does not care.
Yeah. You know, it was maybe he had a horrible breakup with this girlfriend.
I mean, you do wonder that, like, you know, he clearly has fucking demons. And you wonder if, like, maybe he's like, I can't fucking share my life with another
person. He was screaming, they're dragging me to hell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the top of his lungs in these children's home. in the middle of the night. He needs to probably move on,
right,
yeah, from the woman and her kids.
Right.
But yeah, so we talked about this is my male heir.
Yep.
That's got to be up there for one of the shittiest things Tony's said.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
For sure. But that pizza looked dope, though. So, like, pizza looked, you know, real he good. Got, yo, my pops came back. If he said that shit to me and then he brought that pizza to me in bed, I'd be like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's okay.
AJ seems like not affected really by like the insult or like the, like, you know, peace offering.
It's good.
He clearly doesn't know how to deal with emotions.
Right.
Fucking poor kid.
It's probably a little of like good writing and a little of like Robert Eyler's not, you know, the greatest actor, but like, but that is like consistent with the character. It's like when like fucking that kid's being held down and they're pouring acid on his fucking feet, he has no reaction to it. Like, you know, that's like kind of his MO.
They're raising a little sociopath,
which is why
I do always
the
have
moment,
to say.
I was gonna say, which is why like the moment that I think is most affecting with AJ is when he comes down the stairs with the military uniform on, and he's like, he's like yells at Carmela and he's crying. I'm like, that like that's like Robert Eyler's probably like shining moment because like we don't see that a lot. You know,
I would say that or you know, when he tries to kill himself.
Oh, that, or that. That's true.
Both. I mean, he you see how he develops as an actor over the course of the series. And I think he's I think you could say he's a good actor by the end of the series.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. Yes.
And he's not fat by the end.
Yeah, he's not fat.
He's not what?
Yeah, he's not fat.
No, he's a scrawny little piece of shit. The guy who tips off Puss at Satrial's about Bevilacqua's whereabouts. I knew you guys were going to say something about this guy, but the fucking, he's in like the denim. He's in like all denim. He's like, sup, yo, Paulie around?
Paulie around? Yeah, he's like asking for all these people. He's like,
that guy sucks.
Yo,
and then he gives him the info, man. And he's like, $20, baby.
All the guy wants is $20.
Yeah, what?
He just gave a man a death sentence. For $20.
Hey man, I ain't
and was like proud about it. $20, baby.
He goes, all right, I can see 4 movies in 2000.
That's cool. I like Vanilla Ice. That was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, it was. It was his, that was his comeback. After Ice Ice Baby.
Once again,
I like also that Puss is.
I was going to say, anytime like a character has to say, like speak, you know, quote unquote street, it sounds like a fucking like cartoon character.
Right.
Really terrible. And this time, and Imperioli, man, you gotta do better.
Yeah. You gotta own up. Own up to it. Imperioli.
I mean, give him $100, you know, at least for that, or ask for 100. I like that Puss is eating off
The gabagool
the weigh station, where you weigh your meat.
Yeah,
it looked so good though.
Every
so
time
good.
I go to Vaughn's, I do that. I just like put the meat on it. I'm like, do you mind if I eat here?
Even now,
just post up.
Even now, and during the pandemic, you're like, I'm eating this meat off the fucking counter.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'll spray it afterwards. Jeez.
It's funny because he throws the 20. And the guy catches it. It's so contrived.
Yes.
Yes.
Also,
and then Puss is like, does the little like, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Yes. Pumps the fist.
Nailed it.
Got it. Yes.
God.
We got him.
Come on, Imperioli. What are you writing, man?
I mean, that's on the direction too. I mean,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Did you guys, real quick, little Imperioli trivia. Any of you that are from New York or been to New York, that's probably all of you, see his theater when he had his theater in Chelsea?
I never went, but
walk by it all the time.
Yeah. Studio Dante.
Studio Dante. That's right. It was a magnet, and it actually was incredible inside. It was like a classic really elaborate Italian theater with, like, I don't know. It was really nice.
And, like, vines and shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
Like velvet curtains and
old
velvets.
Did you see a show there?
I never saw a show, but I went in one time just because I was passing by and it was open. I think they were about to have a show.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that was an Olive Garden.
That was that was
Olive Garden Times Square.
That was Dino's. Yeah. That was Dino's party house.
No, that was here. That was in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice, nice.
He was on Law and Order.
Yeah, so they all were.
Yeah.
We all were.
We all were.
I was on SV.
Were you really? Good?
Yeah.
No, never got on Law and Order. Never got
I auditioned on. For it a couple times.
MRI technician.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I nailed that.
Shit.
It's big. Pretty big. My big brain.
Yeah, I think that, so, I mean, that brings us to the final scene here where it's sort of like a reconciliation between Tony and Carm. But it's kind of weird. Like they shot it like this weird long silence with like close-ups of Carmela just like staring at him as he undresses.
I don't love it. Out of the blue,
sort of just like comes up and starts like kissing him and like rubbing his shoulders. When the last time we saw them, they were obviously at odds.
Right.
But I guess that's sort of how real life relationships like resolve things. Sometimes you don't need to fucking, you know, apologize. It just sort of fixes itself. But when she's talking about vasectomy and all that shit, it just seemed strange. And she's like, I want you to be true and this and that. But Tony's full of shit and she knows that and he knows that. So like, what are we doing here?
But this is like her whole deal, like throughout the series, like she has these like epiphanies. She seeks God. She gives Tony shit that he's not being just or true. And then she just gives up because she's just like, ah, whatever, and goes back to, like, being, like, his fucking, you know, housewife.
Right, right.
Because it's comfortable. Yeah.
Wait, who's Tiffany?
What are you doing?
What the fuck?
What is happening?
He's going who's on Tiffany? The Simon and Garfunkel podcast after this. Wait, so I got this queued up.
Is your phone, or?
It's just Garfunkel.
It's just Garfunkel.
It's just you talking to a wall. Yeah.
Talking to a mop. That's a mop, man. That's not Garfunkel.
Tune in. We'll do some cross promoting. This is great.
Not thrilled with the ending. It's like kind of weird, and like they try to be like artistic with like the quick cuts of them like having sex, and like it just feels like a very abrupt, and then like. It's just like ends. Like I feel like there was a better ending there,
right? But that's pretty much the end. I mean, it's great ep.
Great ep.
So,
right. Do we want to go into who's reading this mid roll thing?
Spells, you have it. You want to?
Oh shit. I mean, I can if you want me to.
I got it up.
Oh, you got it up. You just go for it.
Go ahead.
You guys, there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag.
Hell yeah.
Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day.
Spell's eyes just lighting up every time you say the stuff about simulated sports.
Hey, hey everybody, just wait till real sports come back. Don't even bother.
No, please.
You gotta go to BetOnline.ag. Bet on this fake shit.
Joe, you're ripping the $10 you're getting for this advertisement.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're a real degenerate, go to BetOnline.ag.
That's right.
Okay,
that's actually a better like little catchphrase than they have. Looking for something other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out.
This sounds like...
Sounds like what?
Sounds very exciting.
Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. Oh, shit. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline.
I'm going to do this, actually. Definitely, I'm going to do this.
I know you are. I'm surprised you haven't.
Yeah.
Have you guys?
Bet online, your online wagering experts. There, I'm done. I'm done.
Did it.
Have you guys seen the app Calm that helps you?
I've seen it advertised for.
Yeah.
Well, just now. That was Calm.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. All right, should we do a little segment that we like to do with our guests often? We've done it with comedians such as Ben Rosen, DC Pearson, and now we'll do it with you, Devlin.
Okay, shirt off, right?
Take that shirt off, baby, because we're sitting around the campfire now. You know a little game called Have You Ever?
Oh, yeah, girl.
Oh, baby. You better pour another fucking glass of wine, bitch.
Oh, boom.
Boom.
Got it.
All right, let's jump right in. First question. Have you ever let someone in the hospital to speak to? Yeah, you have let someone in. Okay. Have you ever let someone in to speak to a loved one?
What?
Let someone speak to a loved one, like, in the hospital, like
time.
Have you ever let two mobsters in to speak to someone instead of their wife or girlfriend?
Not knowingly, but probably.
That was weird, right? They're like, sorry, Adriana, you can't come in, but Tony and Polly must come in.
Well, okay. She
asked for him.
Say that again.
She's terrible, so, you know.
All right, fair. As a doctor, you felt like it was justified because she's terrible.
You worked in the hospitals. Say that again.
James Gandolfini, famous, so I always let him in.
True.
You can talk to anybody.
All right. Have you ever filled the family in on the status of a loved one?
A billion times.
Have you ever filled a group of mobsters in on the status of a loved one?
It's kind of a personal question.
That's a yes.
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever operated on or seen a shooting victim?
Again, a billion times.
Have you ever operated on or witnessed a shooting victim after they got shot by two guys, one of whom went to Pace College and the other take shits on site whenever they're committing a burglary because they felt like the victim had forgotten about them and that retaliation would gain them respect and honor? Have you ever done that?
Three times.
Wow, I'm surprised.
I'm Harry.
Only three? Yeah.
True, for our listeners, Devlin is Harry, confirmed.
That's true.
He has his shirt off, and he's rubbing his nipples and his hair.
All this talk about shooting victims is getting him very hot. Next question. Have you ever had a diet soda before? Many times. Okay. Have you ever had a diet
soda? Mobster, yes, with a mobster.
No. You will play along with this game. Have you ever had a diet soda after pissing your pants because two big mobsters are about to kill you for trying to violently retaliate to gain respect and honor?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
You know, really? The bad when Feudy's like struggling to get through the own thing that he wrote.
That's right.
Yeah, these are long-winded.
That's right.
But, you know, but I mean, he's done these things, so this is what we're learning.
Yeah, exactly. These are important questions. We could have had any fuck on. We had Devlin on because...
True.
Right, Dr. Devlin.
Dr. Devlin.
We could have had some unhairy fuck on here.
That's right. Aww. All right. Have you ever prayed?
Not like sincerely.
Have you ever reflected on something or like, you know, like, oh, like,
no.
I really hope.
Nope.
Never have. All right. Well, maybe no reflection. Maybe the second part of the question you will have done. Have you ever prayed because someone you know got shot? Someone you know got shot by two guys, one of whom went to Pace College and the other takes shits on site whenever they're committing a burglary because they felt like the victim had forgotten about them and thought that retaliation would gain them respect and honor. Have you ever prayed for that?
You really, really want people to think you're funny.
isn't that why people have podcasts?
I guess. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
All right. Well,
I mean, do we cut this segment short now? Because
no. That's the last time I do that bit.
No, I thought it was great.
Have you ever eaten standing up?
Have I ever eaten
anything standing up?
Oh, standing up. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten gabagool while standing up and the gabagool was still on the scale at the deli?
I didn't hear the first part. I really don't want to hear it again, but
I'll take that as a yes. Anytime you can't hear me, that's a yes.
I'll answer for him. I have.
As I described earlier.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Have you ever gone to see a psychic?
Mm-mm.
No.
Not personally. I've accompanied people.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
When you accompanied someone to see a psychic.
Girls, I was trying to have sex. Okay?
No. Like, did they mention that the psychic saw all the people that they've murdered?
No.
Okay, good. That was a trick question.
Oh, good.
Damn, we almost arrested that girl. Yeah. That you went to the psychic.
All right, couple more. Two more.
Okay.
Have you ever given a woman a present before?
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I mean that very literally.
Yeah, what do you think?
Don't rub your nipples for this question.
I'm not. I'm pushed.
Devlin's giving us all a present right now.
All right. Have you ever given a woman a present and then also given them a dildo so they can go fuck themselves if they don't like it? You never done that?
I probably have done that.
It's a baller. That's the move.
I think it was a vibrator.
Yeah. Okay. Baller. Okay. Same.
Ooh,
same difference. All right. Last question.
It makes sense.
Last question. Yeah.
Let's
last
get
question.
On the line.
Have you ever had a Brazilian side piece?
Oh boy. There was something that happened in Amsterdam. I will just say that.
Oh boy.
Okay. All right.
No, Argentinian. Never mind.
Okay. All right. That was have you ever? Thank you.
That was
Devlin.
Great. Devlin, you did great, man.
Thank you. How many points?
All the points. All the points.
Yeah, you beat DC. You crushed him.
You did. Yeah, DC,
fucking humiliated DC.
DC really obliged the whole time, and that's not as fun.
Right. We just want to make you mad.
We started this pod, and the sun was out, and now I'm sitting in the dark, so I'm going to turn my light on real quick.
You
cut your mic out of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while Feudy's gone, I'll set up our last segment here called Fucking Internet. And this is where we source internet. Questions about The Sopranos from various places on the internet. This week, only Reddit. Not a lot of Twitter buzz about From Where to Eternity, believe it or not, you guys.
I'm shocked.
The Warlocks?
Yeah.
Want me to pull up the Warlocks? Or
Warlocks are talking about it right now on their podcast.
Oh.
So this one from Monica Kaczynski. In From Where to Eternity, why do Paulie and Tony say they don't want Richie Aprile at the hospital? He was just in Tony's house in the previous episode, and he gave Tony Rocco DeMeo's jacket. Cocksucker had the toughest reputation in Essex County. Were they just cautious of him because he gave a fuck you by not completing Beansy's ramp? What do you guys think?
Oh, because like word is out that he, that Bevilacqua like ran to him, I'm sure.
Right. So I get so they suspect Richie of having something to do with Chris getting shot?
Yeah, because he's already had like conflict with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They definitely do.
And I guess that's sort of why Tony like sort of keeps Bevilacqua alive, like, hey, did Richie have anything to do with this?
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Go ahead.
Well,
Nova.
Fucking Monica Kaczynski didn't know.
Monica is hero. Anyway, it's because they realize he's a U.S. Marshal.
So true.
Keep him at a distance.
The funny U.S. Marshal.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the funny U.S. Marshals for sure.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones. Oi.
That's not what we like. We're actually fun.
What? This one from user Justified Victory. Who beat up Matt Bevilacqua? When Tony and Pussy interrogate Matt in From Where to Eternity, he is already visibly beaten up. His eye and face show he took a true beating, but when the scene begins, Tony and Pussy don't look like they just gave out a beating. They tell him, "We just want to talk," which is either a bad joke or implying they just arrived. Who would have already beaten him up? Did Tony and Pussy ambush him with Pussy's knowledge of his whereabouts, or did a third party locate him?
Who else was in that? There was somebody in the background in that scene that probably beat his ass, right? Wasn't there?
No.
I don't think so.
No,
they just beat him up. It's just
they're dragging him into that like little like place. Like they clearly beat him up.
They jumped.
Doesn't make any sense because they're like, look, we just want to talk. If you just wanted to talk, why like?
Well, maybe he was running away or something.
This is a terrible show.
Whole show fucking collapses.
But
in this question.
But, yeah, they just want to talk because that's just like what they say, you know, like, I mean, obviously they punched him or like, you know, they jumped him in some sort of way and in restraining him, they fucking probably hit him in the face.
Right.
Like, I mean, I do these people not understand like the moment before or something? I don't understand.
Here's my question though. Like, this guy had fucking days to run, leave the state,
go somewhere.
He chooses to go to the fucking George Washington slept here house and just like chill there,
which is not far, like a house. Like
I don't know where it is, Morristown? If people know where it is, like Tony seems to, then come on,
it's like a half hour away from where they like where they are. Well, he's an idiot. It's pretty clear that Matt Bevilacqua was a fucking idiot.
Right. True. Yeah. He went to Pace College.
I mean, the actor, too, you know, I mean.
That's true.
I know.
Yeah,
he fucking got in trouble for some shit, right?
Murdered a cop.
Yeah.
He was present
for the murder.
He didn't, he didn't pull the trigger, but he was.
Right.
He's still got in trouble. He's out of jail now.
Yes, he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's like,
I hope he's getting
seems
his
like,
shit back together.
Seems like he's turned his life around. Like he's like sober. And
you guys should have him on.
We would love
to speak his piece.
Lilo Brancato, if you're listening, we would love for you to come on.
We want
to
hear your thoughts on defunding the police.
we also want to hear your thoughts on why didn't you fucking run, dude?
Yeah, what? Come on, man.
Why didn't you go past Morristown, you fucking idiot?
This one from user, The Chinese Godfather.
Oh, no.
Why does Tony personally kill Bevilacqua? As the boss of the family, shouldn't he have one of his soldiers handle this? Seems like a strange risk to take when he could have easily ordered one of the capos to handle this.
It's for respect.
His nephew yeah. even though he murders his nephew later.
Yes.
Right.
Like, come on.
You picked these out of the like the stupid fucking people of Reddit right here.
Yeah, I told
like,
you I didn't have a laugh for this episode.
No, I know, and you're definitely right about that. Because some of these people are like, why is he called Soprano? He doesn't sing. That's some of these comments right now. But I mean, hey, I love it. I mean,
guys,
you get the shit on him.
Guys, he can't hear me because he's blind. But Joe looks.
Yeah, Joe. For our listeners, Joe is wearing what look like my Grandma Betty's huge sunglasses.
Hey guys,
disgusting.
You know, it blocks the sun.
Sure.
Oh boy.
So this next one from
go ahead.
From user East by God Kentucky. Did Carmella know I can hear what he said. Did Carmella know Tony had gone to kill Matthew Bevilacqua?
Yes.
I'm on about my sixth full rewatch, and it just stood out to me from Where to Eternity that before Tony leaves to meet Pussy to kill Bevilacqua, Carmella has this knowing presence, and then she jumps his bones after he comes back home, talking about having another baby. Any takes on this one?
I think she. Yeah.
How it took you six times to figure that out? Jesus Christ!
Well, it's Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, it's Mitch McConnell. Oh, this is a Chinese Godfather 33.
Let me get Trump's dick out of my mouth.
Oh, I hope they read this on the Old Sopranos pod, my favorite.
Oh, this is Money Mitch 69. I just want to know, why don't Puss and Polly talk to the cops?
Fucking hate that guy. Any other thoughts on that? Or was it just completely obvious?
I remember.
It's pretty obvious that that Tony and Carmella share a moment before he goes. It's very obvious.
Which makes Carmella even more of a hypocrite this episode, because she's all about like, hey, Christopher, like, this is your chance to face your mortality and change, when she's like basically condoning her husband going out and
also
murdering again.
Like, she...
Yeah, and then vigilante justice turns her on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's like all horned out by it. Like,
right. Yeah.
Always.
Well, she's always hypocritical. I mean, she's always hypocritical. It's great. It speaks to her character. I mean, it's great.
I mean, every single person on the show is hypocritical.
Yeah. Right.
Girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Girls like that. And this.
Yep.
Dylan is taking his shirt off again.
I didn't realize he put it back on briefly.
Devlin also turned on by Tony killing Matthew Bevilacqua.
Oh yeah.
Devlin,
the
professors. Okay, what? Go ahead.
Since you guys, here's maybe a little more of a discussion. This one from user The Strawberry. The new generation of men in The Sopranos. When Tony apologizes to AJ for the male heir line, he states, "I couldn't be prouder." This line never rung true for me. Tony constantly states how AJ could never be in the mafia, and he proceeds to fuck up in myriad of ways right throughout the series. Thinking about it, it occurred to me that almost every man in the new generation after Tony's is a disappointment or fuck up of some kind. AJ, Christopher, Brendan, Little Lord Fuckpants, Dino Zarelli, Matt Bevilacqua, Sean Gismonte, the Puerto Rican whore, Eugene's son, Little Ricky April, a disappointment in Richie's eyes. It's difficult to think of any that aren't. Is this just a straight-up comment on a new generation of men that can't compete with the old one? Tony bemoans the strong, silent type a few times. Or is it a reflection on how much they've been damaged by a group of psychotic and uber-macho fathers? Discuss that.
That's the best question so far. Yeah. I mean,
good job, The Strawberry.
Yeah.
Really good analysis by The Strawberry.
As per usual.
What's the next question?
Next. That was good, Strawberry. Next.
Next. Can we have a question we could shit on?
Who's the most capable of, like, Benny?
Benny Fazio?
I mean, he gets the shit beat out of him. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess. I would argue that Tony's generation is a bunch of fuck-ups, too. I mean, everybody's going to jail, turning rat. Like,
I think it's a very common mafia theme. I mean, it's the same in the Godfather story, that the next generation is legit in the eyes of a mafioso, maybe as a fuck up,
right?
You know, but I think the difference is in the Godfather, they want him to be legit. I feel like Tony and the others in his generation are conflicted. You know, I think they're not like outright, you're going to go to Harvard and be a whatever architect or something. But they're also not like, we want you in. I think they're conflict. I think it's actually on that generation that they just don't know what they want. for their
right. Like they don't want the mob life for their sons, but at the same time, you know, they're not always fucking like giving them the opportunity to escape the mob life.
Well, right. Well, and also like that generation, like the 60s, 70s generation, like were taught by pop culture to not just do what you like your elders tell you to do.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of that too. I mean, you know, Tony listens to rock and roll. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. It is hey. Funny though. It is funny though that they do like, I mean, in The Godfather, they do like they make Fredo like a bitch, and then they make Michael's son like a dancer, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a singer. Or
daughter,
a
terrible actress.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that is interesting. That the sort of, I don't know. They kind of do that. They do that in The Sopranos with Richie Aprile and
yeah, like, with Richie's son. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Last couple comments. These aren't really questions, but this from Leading Lock. Tony and Carmela kissing, etc. at the end of From Where to Eternity is extremely revolting.
Wow.
That's it. What? That's all I had to say. Which I guess, sure.
Okay.
I mean, you got to remember, like,
I just realized
on TV in 2000, there wasn't a lot of, like middle-aged fat dudes having sex scenes, you know?
Right.
Is what's the movie From Here to Eternity?
It's Burt Lancaster.
Is that the one where they kiss on the beach?
On the beach, yeah. Yes. Sort of mimics yes. that.
That's
sort
what
of.
They're mimicking. Oh, I just realized that.
Yeah. Yep. Good job, okay. Spells.
Yeah, well, did you guys know that? Or did you? Or am I stupid?
No, I didn't realize that.
I didn't put two and two together, no.
Yeah.
I got older than all of you.
Yeah, it's true.
This last one from Brown Phantom. When Adriana is crying as Chris's heart.
Poop, shit, poop.
This guy's a big turd. When Adriana's crying as Chris's heart stops, all I can think is how much of a gift it would be for her if he had died.
That's which very true.
She would still be alive, right?
A gift for like everybody on the show.
I know. I mean, Tony ultimately figures that out, right? Like,
right.
This kid needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Shitty how he did it, but yeah, it's interesting to think like she's, you know,
but you know, he ends up killing a cop later on, so you know, not all bad. Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
We're canceled.
It's just
hey, Devlin, you ever operate on a cop?
I've taken care of a shot police officer before. Yes.
Oh. Have you really?
Yeah.
Was that it in New York?
Yeah.
They keep in touch.
They were okay. They were fine.
Good. Great.
I'm curious. I know we're running long, but I'm curious, like, what your first, like, few shifts were like in the ER? Like, were you scared?
Jeez, my first few shifts in the ER. That's going back, like, 20 years, you know. Seriously.
Hey, we're doing a podcast going back 20 years, so.
frightened. I mean, I was, like, insecure and worried.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it took a little while for me to stop caring.
Right. Right.
No, I, you know, I'm all good now. I'm good. But,
and 20 years ago, and, 20 years ago, you would host a Sopranos night, right? We should probably maybe talk about that a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
True.
15 years ago. Yeah. I used to live on Houston and Sixth Avenue. And
nice.
So Joe, I could have sworn you were at some of those nights. You never went to one? Maybe I'm
probably
thinking,
no,
probably
you know,
was,
like
he just
we had,
doesn't remember.
We, maybe I did, but I don't remember. But we had
the gambling, the poker nights. You were
I went to Eric's poker nights, but I watched the finale with DC at Chuck D's house. DC were talking about that. Yeah. Yes. R.I.P. Chuck.
Yeah, so let's see, who was that? It would be like Ben Rogers, Sean Hart, I think Brevi. Eric Brevi, Eric
Clemens.
Yeah, Clemens would usually be there. Maybe a couple others. But I think my most memorable night, other than the finale, which was fucking insane to watch with like eight other guys, and we're all like, they're all like yelling at me because they think my fucking TV went out.
Yeah, everybody did. Everybody did.
Everybody did. But they were violent. I was stabbed. was when I apparently I bragged that Bjork lived in my building. Do you remember this story?
Kind of, yeah.
So Bjork lived in my building. Yeah. I mean, it was one of her residences, I guess. And I apparently mentioned that to somebody, and they wouldn't let it go. They're like, I didn't run into Bjork in the lobby.
Yeah, well, big mistake to tell like 10 dickhead comedians that.
Yeah.
Huge mistake.
But it was a lot of fun. It was actually great. I miss those times. I miss that bonding.
Oh, yeah, and no doubt.
Poker nights were great. Hey, you know,
I don't dwell on the past.
What's that?
Shut the fuck up.
Hey, Joe, you know, Mulaney is starting a poker night again.
Who?
Kevin Mulaney. Kevin? He was a poker guy.
Does he live in Los Angeles?
No, he lives in Chicago. So right now it's going to be online.
Okay.
But eventually.
Right. Keep talking. I have more and more to cut out when I'm editing this.
All right. We want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Devlin. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy. I know you're busy killing people in the ER. Thank you for taking the time.
Why do you put the shirt back on, man? Yeah. Why?
Well,
it's a ceremony.
Yeah, it makes
it's
more
part
of
the Wiccans.
It's more of a flourish to put it back on and then.
Yeah, flourish. That's what I meant.
I'll try it.
Cool.
Devlin, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Be safe. To our listeners out there, thank you for listening. You can always hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com. Questions, concerns, you feel like we should stop doing this forever? Let us know. We won't. But I'm interested. Right. Yeah, Devlin is emailing us right now to tell us that this is a bad idea.
Not air this.
You can also hit us up on the socials on Instagram and Twitter at osopranospod. Be safe, everybody. Be careful. Be nice. Be kind.
Do we take our dicks out now?
Yeah. Take your dicks out.
No.
Yep.
No.
And that's our show.
And that's our show.
He was saying no like he was going to do.
Oh.
Whoa. 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 Whoa.